Okay, very good. Well, let's dig into this text. Good food for our soul. In the months to come, some 15 people will be asked to serve in a high capacity in someone's cabinet. I don't know if that sounds nice to you, serving someone's cabinet. But we're not talking about this kind of cabinet, right? We're talking about this intimate room, small setting where a group of people will come and be the most trusted of advisors for different segments of our society, the president's cabinet. Very important. If you need a job and you would let this pays like $200,000 a year, that's good. If I had my pick of the 15, I think I would not step down as pastor, but if I could do both, I would be the head of the interior. The head of the interior. I'm thinking that's to take care of the interior pots in the cabinet. No, my kids will give me eye rolls for that. No, but that would be the parks department, right? Imagine taking care of the national parks. I would love that job. That would be fun. These are important positions, these cabinet positions, and have a lot of sway in administration. But I would like to propose to you that it is not the most important group of people that speak for the president. There is a more important role than you can play in any administration. And as we look at the text today, we'll find that it is the most important role that you have as a Christian in regard to your government. It's more important than voting. It's more important than serving as an advisory capacity in someone's cabinet. It's the most important role we have, and it's not one that we can choose. According to this text, it's one that we must fill. And that is praying. Not speaking counsel to, but speaking to God about our leaders. Pastor Andrew shared this text on Wednesday night in our prayer time. And as I listened to that, I really felt like it was something that our whole church needed to think through and really prepare ourselves to have the right perspective on a national election. This is a very important text, and I think it does fit in our salt and light context of the Sermon on the Mount. This is one of the saltiest and lightiest things we can do as Christians. I also feel like it's something that we're not doing well. And perhaps when we get to glory, we'll find out that this was our most important duty and our most neglected duty. So let's dig in today and really get an understanding of what God calls us to in this text. This is from the book of Timothy. I like the book of Timothy, and I don't get to preach it very often. It's my namesake. This is what I was named for. I was named after 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, the Timothy of the Bible. This is from the pastoral epistles. What would that be? Letters written to whom? To pastors. And what would they? There's three of them in your New Testament. What are they? 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Good. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. So important. You're like, what does God want in a church? How does God want a church to look and to function? You have three books that give very clear instruction to pastors about how a church should function. And so as I was preparing for ministry, I actually memorized most of these books. These are the things that, of course, my brain is I'm getting older, and so a lot of those words are gone. So Pastor Andrew and I read a chapter from these books every time we have an elders meeting, because we need to be focused on what God wants pastors to do in a church. In fact, if you look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 14, you find that very clearly stated. Paul, of course, this is the Holy Spirit talking through Paul. I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, But in case I'm delayed, and we're thankful, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. This is what we're given as far as an instruction book of how things should work in a church. But it's not just for pastors, because it's primarily written to pastors and how to lead the church. We don't preach through them as often, but it's something we should all read and be aware of as church congregants and be committed to obeying. And so I'm glad that we can look at one of these texts today. Chapter 2 really comes at the beginning of that, because chapter 1 is primarily a kind of a beginning encouragement to Timothy between him, like personal stuff between him and Paul, right? Keep fighting the fight of faith, Timothy. And now he's going to give some general instruction for us as church people as to what we should do. And that's where we get into our primary command today. And so let's look, first of all, our first point today, a vital activity, that of petition. The Holy Spirit gives these words for us as Christians in a church, a primary vital activity, that of petition. First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The priority of petition. The priority of petition from the first phrases there. First of all, I urge that. That shows us this idea of priority. He is urging it. Okay, so this is not something we could sit out on if we wanted. This is a command. We can't choose whether or not we obey. Paul gives an exhortation for us at Grace Baptist Church. I can't opt out of this one. This is a draft. I am told, even urged, some sense of urgency here. You should do this. He urges this, but what's the first phrase? First of all, I urge. And that shows even a priority of the other things that we're commanded to do. It's not just first as the thing that he tells Timothy by way of, right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is the first thing I'm going to bring up. But it's the idea is of primary importance. There's a primacy to this command. This is your priority. First of all, this is the first thing you've got to do. Pray. We all have many things to do today. You all have many things to do tomorrow. And we will all choose between good, better, and best. And bad, worse. But we will all have things that we wish we could have done by the end of this day. They're all, and so it becomes priority, right? You have to chew, according to the recommendation of whoever says this, 32 times per bite. Have you heard that? Right? 32 times that you need to chew with every bite, with every swallow. I'm not going to take time with that. But you have all these things that you're told you need to do. This is best for you. It's best for you to do this. It's best for you to do this. It's best for you to do this. Paul is saying, first priority of all the things you choose to do, pray. This is your first priority. I have a to-do list. I never get it done. It always goes to the next week. And the next week, and the next week. It's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm never going to get done everything I need to do. But if I find priority in all of those things, my first thing to do is pray for Grace Baptist Church, to pray for you. But he's going to give more specifics than even that. And this is where fasting comes in. It's not to show God that you're really serious now. Well, now God has to listen to me. I skipped two meals. Ha-ha. That's called Phariseeism, and that's what the Pharisees did. Self-righteousness. Look at what I did. Now God, no, that's, you can never twist God's hands. Fasting is, I have so many things to do. Prayer is so important. I have so many things to pray about. You know what? I'm not going to chew today. My lunch, I'm going to have to skip that in order to make more time for this most important activity. And often when you're doing that, you're able to think more clearly as you're doing it. The priority of petition. This is a priority. We must give priority to this as a church. Priority of what? Priority of petition. He says, now I urge you, first of all, and then he talks about petition. Entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings. He just kind of names them all as far as our intercessions. I want you to be praying. I want you to be giving requests about. I want you to be interceding. These are all synonyms. It's not necessarily that you have three phases to your prayer petition part of your worship time of the Lord. It's just three of the similar overlapping ideas that all of us need to be committed to, giving requests for people. The one of these is a little different, though. Which one of the four? Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm petitioning, I'm praying, I'm requesting, and I'm thanking God. For who? For all. I want to be doing this for all people. I'm going to be praying for all people. I'm going to be bringing petitions on behalf of all these folks. Do you have a prayer list? Now, of course, that's not 8 billion people, but each person in your sphere of relationships. I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for Jim Bob, and I'm praying that he'll grow in the faith, right? Or I'm praying for Lindy. I'm praying for Ford. I'm going down the list, and I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for this person, and I'm praying that they'll grow in their faith. I'm praying that they'll grow spiritually. I'm praying for the spiritual aspects of their life. So you should be praying. And I'm thanking God for all of them. This is what he's telling us to be prayer warriors. You would say, I just don't get along with that person. I get along with Lindy. No, I don't know, I'm picking on you. I do. But that doesn't matter. You are to pray for everyone. Praying God's kingdom, God's purposes for each person. We'd say this is primarily outward and upward, right? He's not saying pray all these things for you here. Say pray for others. Pray for God's purposes. Praying for God's kingdom, for vertically the people around me, horizontally the people around me, vertically for God's purposes. So that's verse 1. I am praying for all people. But then he goes on. Let's continue on here. This is fascinating. A church, he's going to talk about a church's primary commitment, and he's going to start praying for who? For kings. Are you kidding me? Verse 2 and on. Behalf of all men. Now we get to the persons of the petition. For all people and for kings. We should be committed to be praying as Christians for kings. Now, this is not necessarily just the traditional monarch. And Narek had to find all the kings in the earth. He's talking about rulers. People who are over the land in which you reside as citizen. On that day, they were not very nice people. And so Paul is saying, pray for kings. This is not, and that is fairly general. Pray for kings, plural. It's not just the king that you appreciate, or the president that you appreciate, or the senator that you appreciate, that kind of goes along with your flow of thought or your political opinions. Pray for the kings. So you're praying for Cuomo and for Trump, right? And we maybe could go all the way to the left and all the way to the right there. You're praying for both of them. Can you pray with them? All right? With thanksgiving. All right, that's what the text says. Pray for kings in thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for this person and I pray for their soul. That's what it's saying. Say, well, not that I can't pray for that person. Well, he moves on. For kings, is there any exception? For kings and all who are in authority. Everyone who's in authority in your life, we're praying for them. For the people who are head of an organization that you work with, the PTA, maybe the head of your class, the principal at your school, for those of you who are in school. Right, this is what we're to be salt and light in this way. This is how we influence society. Yes, we vote. If we have to, we demonstrate. We write articles and we're vocal, but you know what? We pray. This is how things change. We pray for the person who's in charge at work, my boss, the person who determines my work schedule, the borough president. I guess that's going to be determined soon, this week. We need to be praying for that person. Everyone who's in authority, pray for all of them. I feel like I have not done a good job at this as a pastor. Right, I have some high-level folks that I'm really keyed in on. I've been praying for Cuomo, de Blasio for a long time, for their salvation. But you know what? I've been praying for a borough president generally, but we need to have these names down. I'm really committed to that as a church. This is something we need to make first priority. This is how the world has changed. Grace Baptist Church is praying for our local leaders. We're praying for them. And as things progress this week, if you would help me with this, we need to get some names down. We need to make sure we're praying for those in our local and federal government. You might say, well, they don't deserve it. They're not very presidential. They're not like the normal king should be. I don't like this senator. They're not carrying themselves like a normal governor. Well, let's ask Paul about that. Whose king is Paul is writing this? He's writing this to Timothy, saying, you're to organize this church, and as you do, first of all, I want you to be praying for all people, and specifically for kings. Grace Baptist Church's ministry on our website should be food pantry, right? Outreach. We pray for kings. This is what he's talking about. All right, who are you praying for? A little guy named Nero. This is who Paul is writing this. As he's writing, this is who Timothy's king is. 65 AD. Nero is king, and Paul is praying for him. Nero came to power in his late teens, found himself being manipulated by his mom, so he killed her. Goes downhill from there. Nero would execute commanders for speaking against him in a party. 64 BC, the year before this, a fire decimated Rome. Most historians believe that Nero caused that. But he couldn't blame himself, so who did he blame? The Christian community. At this point, it's a capital offense to profess Christ in Rome. But it wasn't enough to do that. He would make public spectacle of Christians, crucifying them, causing their death by wild beasts, burning them alive, setting them on fire as torches in his public gardens. This is the king, Nero, at that time. Such wickedness. Can you imagine? Like, we can't even think. It's unthinkable. But this is what happens. The depravity of the human heart is unleashed with the greater amount of power. And so we need to pray. Church history tells us that he imprisoned Paul, and eventually it was Nero that killed Paul. And he tells young Timothy, pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for these leaders. Pray for kings and all who are in authority. Why? The purpose of the petition. Why should we be doing this? For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You see, Paul had a greater end goal in all of this. It was that verses 3 and following, that the gospel would go forward. So he just wanted, above all things, he didn't necessarily even want to live in comfort. He just wanted the gospel to go forward. We need peace and tranquility so I can preach the Lord Jesus to more cities and more places. Whether Nero's in charge or someone else is in charge, his mom's in charge, I just need to preach the gospel. And so we need to be praying for leaders around us so that we can live a certain way as Christians. This is what politics is all about. Politics is all about the gospel going forward. It's got to be that. This is what should shape everything we think with regard to praying for world leaders. That we would be able to, first of all, lead a tranquil and quiet life. This talking about our quality of life. The purpose of the request. The purpose of this petition is that we would be able to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. That we would not have a life of commotion and irritation. That we would have some sense of peace on earth. We need to pray this. Pray to this end with regard to our current leaders, with regard to this election coming up. That our leaders would grow in their ability to cause there to be peace in our communities. That we would be able to lead a tranquil and quiet life. We just think of all the life ahead of us. We may have 10 days, we may have, you may live 100 years. You don't know. That we would have quality of life, and that we would also have character in our life. That you would have lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. As you pray for your leaders, this encourages you to have in your public persona dignity and godliness. You would be known to be a godly person who is dignified. And so in our culture, it's a little different in that we can publicly vocalize our disapproval with our leaders, and we will not be killed. We need to be able to do this in a dignified and godly way as we pray behind doors. In fact, before we start publicly saying what's wrong, we probably should have prayed for that person for at least 5 months every day before we could ever become public with that complaint. Because in the end, Nero commits suicide. The Christian community spreads throughout the whole world. Because the gospel will go forward. It was Glover, a noted historian, who said, "We name our sons Paul. We name our dogs Nero." Right? The gospel will go forward. Through the prayer of God's people, the public proclamation of God's people. It doesn't matter who's in charge because God's in charge. We just need to be a part of praying forward God's kingdom to grow. But Satan will do anything he can to try to get us off focus, to get us think of lesser things. He is a deceiver, an accuser, a murderer from the beginning. These are his names. And this is what he'll try to promote. Satan loves when people's lives are taken, when crowds get into a frenzy to destroy people's lives, their livelihood. He's going to want that to happen this week. But you know what will withstand that? Not just the love of the Christians in Salt and Light, the prayer of the Christians. Let us commit to praying for peace this week. Satan wants the Holocaust. Satan wants war. Satan wants blood to be spilled. He loves that. God will override all of it. We don't need to be fearful. But God wants to use our prayers. God wants to use our prayers. And he will. I think that's why he has us talking about this. He wants to use the prayers of Grace Baptist Church in this community, in this city, in this country. We're to pray for our leaders. We're to strive in prayer for our leaders daily, that we might lead a quiet and tranquil life characterized by godliness and dignity. Satan wants to be against that this week. We need to pray that God would allow for that this week. I know Satan's planning differently. He's limited. He has to ask God for permission. Let's ask God for peace. Why would we ask that? Would it be so that we don't have our houses burnt down? Nothing that shallow. Why would it be? Well, he continues with the text. It's all about the gospel. Because Nero is still in hell. Hitler is still in hell to this day. And so there's something much greater going on than politics. It's eternal life. That is what's going on. Whether you live your life in jail or not is not a big deal. It's after this life, there is an eternity that we're talking about. That is what's going on. And so he says, this is why we do this. It's because of salvation. Verse 3 and following, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, this is the big issue at stake. This is why we want peace. We have an eternal motivation. I realize there are a lot of very important issues going on, and I'm not making light of those. They're only light insofar as we see eternity in view. That's why I say if our houses are burned and we go to jail, right, that's a small thing if you put it into perspective to eternity in view. And that's why Paul can pray for Nero. Because of, first of all, God's great desire, that would be that we would come to him. And that would be kings, and that would be paupers, and that would be red, and that would be blue, and whatever color independent is. He wants everyone to come to know him. God wants all these kings to be saved. He wants them all to be saved. Right, you think it was interesting when Justin Bieber got saved, the rapper made a profession of faith, whatever. The other guy that's running for president, Kanye West, yeah. Well, we can't judge their heart, but they're making a profession of faith, right? You think that's big? Well, what about if our president gets saved, right? What about if our governor gets saved? What about if our mayor and senators get saved? That's a huge splash. God delights in that. He loves that. We need to be praying for that. They need to feel conviction because God's people are praying for them, for their soul. Because we want them to live with us in glory. We want to share a room in heaven. Not just with Jim Bob and Tim, but with each of these leaders. God wants, that's what the text says. I'm not making this up. That's what the text says. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He saved you. He saved me. He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as we do, this rocks the world. God's people, as they're praying, this is what happens. The world changes. It's not our power. It's God's power. And that's why I say this is more important than voting. Tuesday, the most important thing you can do for our country is pray for our leaders. I think we should vote. We should be involved. But the most important thing is to be praying. D. Edmund Hebert, in his book about intercessory prayer, talks about Pastor Joseph Evans. Summer day in 1910, he's walking the Adirondacks in New York with some friends, enjoying the beauty of God's creation. But he felt like he needed to pray, and so he went off apart from them and started to pray. And as he was praying, he was burdened to pray for the king. King Edward VII at that point, the king of England, and he agonized in prayer for Edward's salvation. Spent intense time of prayer concentrating on that one man until he felt his spirit lifted and he was able to resume his plans. Years later, he was told that the that King Edward came to know the Savior on the last day of his life, that same day that he was praying for him. On his deathbed, he ordered one of his servants to go to Fleet Street and get a gospel tract. The same familiar words he heard as a child, I think that would be Queen Victoria, right? He accepted Christ as Savior. Prayer is powerful. God is powerful. And for some reason, he waits until we pray. He's not limited. We're all at God's feet to pray. We need to be praying for these individuals' salvation. But beyond that, we need to pray that they would govern in such a way that salvation would spread. Right? Because this is the context of this idea of praying for all these people. He's saying, you need to do this because God loves this, for there's only one way of salvation. His whole point of this is, we need to do this, have peace and tranquility, because this message has to spread. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to pray for peace on earth, that we may have more roads to share the gospel. Because God's door is singular, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. This is so important because salvation is so important, and it is one way. We're all born in a state of alienation. We're all born needing to be ransomed, to be bought back to God. Jesus came himself as a payment for our ransom. Not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we're redeemed with this precious blood. It's not that there are many roads that lead up to the mountain. It's that there is one God, and he has come in Christ to bring us to God. You cannot believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and believe that Judas died on the cross. It's either one or the other. You cannot believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that some other is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot believe that salvation is based on Jesus and him alone and his works of righteousness and your works of righteousness. It's one or the other. And what this text is saying is there's one mediator. There are not many priests. There's one. It's Jesus. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the one who gave himself. And so he's saying, this is so important. This is why Paul gave himself to this message and why he went from prison to prison to prison to preach this gospel message. It's that important. There is a broad way that leads to destruction. There is a narrow way that leads to eternal life. This is what Jesus taught. We're reading the Sermon on the Mount. This is the whole point of his message. At the end, he says, you can listen to my words, and you can have a foundation that's firm, or you can ignore my words and be destroyed. It's faith alone through Christ alone, grace alone. And that's why this is the most important thing we can do as a church. We need to be praying that God will work in such a way in our community that there is peace and tranquility. Even this week, asking the Lord that there would be peace and tranquility in order that the gospel would go forward. I have a friend who's been, he was actually, I guess, maybe 6 years, 7 years ago, North Korea shut out all interaction. But before that, he would go every year and teach as an engineer, and he would do that for the gospel's sake. And since that's been shut down, he is praying every day and encouraging everyone else to pray that there would be more peaceful connections between the U.S. and North Korea so that he would be able to have an open door again to share the gospel. And so when you read in the news, this becomes so political. Oh, right, the president and the president, they're talking, this is horrible. You may see that in the news, but you know what's happening? Behind scenes, Bill is on his knees. And that is what's changing world events. That you're praying for China, that you're praying for Indonesia, that you're praying for closed countries, that you're praying for the United States. World leaders change in response to the prayers of Christians. Because God is in control. Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, God is in control. We need not fear. We need pray. Cast all our care upon Him. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Red sand, blue sand, it's sinking sand. If you're relying on that, you are unfounded. I'm not saying we could be involved, but don't find your hope in that. How silly. Find your hope in Jesus. But let's pray to this end. Let's pray for gospel opportunity. And we find, lastly here, in closing, a personal example that this is what Paul would do. Like, this is my life. I'm asking you to pray this way because God has allowed me to go from city to city to city to preaching the gospel. And I want to continue to do that. That is our primary prayer request with regard to elections and the rise and fall of kingdoms. Asking the Lord that the gospel would go forward. And being a part of it, being a part of it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's come to the Lord, ask Him for grace to do this. Let me ask you if you have come to faith in this truth yourself. Paul said, I'm so amazed that you're deserting the gospel of grace for a different gospel, distorting the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached, he's to be accursed. There is one gospel message. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is what we're about. That beautiful message that God loves you in Christ and wants to live with you eternally, not based on your works. And so if you've never embraced that, let me encourage you to embrace that today by faith in this message that God has provided a way. And that way is Jesus. And I encourage you to pray and ask the Lord for the forgiveness that comes only through Christ. But let me also encourage you, if you've found yourself really, really anxious about this week, let me encourage you to just roll that on the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you, and I pray that you would help me to be most passionate about your kingdom, most passionate about your purposes. Most passionate about good news going to kings and to my neighbors. Citizen of heaven and citizen of earth. And I think it would be really important for us in closing to commit to that. Even now to pray for this week. I do believe that Satan wants to cause a lot of unrest this week. And so I would encourage us all as a church, even now, to pray for peace. Pray for an unusual sense of calm. Even in the secular arena. Pray that the results would further the gospel. We can all of us can pray that wholeheartedly. And I do believe we should. This is what we're called to, a first priority at Grace Baptist Church. I'll be standing in the back lobby, be happy to pray with you personally as well. In a moment, Pastor Andrew will close us in prayer and we'll sing. But let's all commit these requests in light of this, in light of what's coming Tuesday. Let's just ask the Lord for these things.